Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Faith does not recognize God's ability. The fool knows God can. Satan knows God can. Satan doesn't have faith in God. Faith does not recognize God's ability, but faith triggers God's involvement.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Calicut, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's Infusion of the Truth.
Hey, thank you, Corey. God bless you, truth seekers. Welcome aboard this train. We're ready to pull out of the station and see where God's going to take us today. It's going to be a journey. I'm sure one that is going to be a benefit to you and I, and I just love the opportunity to do this. The last 2 weeks, I think this is the third week, we've been on a little bit of a journey into Mark chapter 9, discussing what I believe is a huge topic and a huge foundational teaching for the church today. And the problem that we're having with the church today, where this teaching on faith is concerned, is the lack of it. And a couple of weeks ago, I told you a funny story about Sherlock Holmes and Watson. They were out under the stars camping, and in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes wakes up and he's kind of staring perplexed into the night sky and all the stars, and he wakes Watson up and he says, "Watson, look up, what do you see?" And Watson says, "I see stars, I see lots of stars." He says, "Well, Watson, what does that mean to you?" And Watson goes into this big spiel of all the different things it can mean astrologically and astronomically and orologically and theologically. Finally, he says, "Holmes, what does it mean to you?" To which Holmes says, "Watson, you idiot, it means that someone has stolen our tent. You know, that's why I'm seeing the stars." The truth with the church today is we see a whole lot of flashy things, big worded things, things that impress people, to impress our church folks, that impress the world. And what we're missing is the blatantly obvious. And there are several blatantly obvious things that are missing that we don't even recognize are missing. And I think one of the biggest things that we are missing in the church today is the presence of true, functioning, active, practical faith. And because of that, we've been talking about the idea and the concept of being a faith walker. Not just being a faith talker, but someone that takes theoretical faith, the ideas and the concepts and the scriptural knowledge and understanding of faith, and translates that with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit into a faith that functions in everyday life. And that's a practical faith, and that's what we're talking about when we say faith walker. Very important that the Church of America especially gets back to faith walking and doesn't major so much on the faith talking. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with theoretical faith. We need that. It's necessary to have the knowledge of the Word and the understanding of the doctrine and the concepts. But if we don't ever translate that over into everyday life, then we are falling woefully short of what we've been called to do, because we have not been saved and called into this body to be lecturers of the faith. We've been called and saved and placed into this world that is confused and lost and dying to be those that live out the faith and have a faith that changes things, not only in our lives and our churches, but in the communities that we live in. And that's the backdrop and the background on what we're talking about. And we kind of went to Mark chapter 9 last week and began to open up, setting the scene for this passage. Today we're going to get into the guts of exactly what went down in the lives of a particular man in Mark chapter 9. I want to start by reading to you Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, and then we're going to go immediately into this exchange between this man and Jesus himself. And here's what the Word of God says in Mark 9, beginning in verse 14. And when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the disciples and the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they would cast it out, but they could not." And he answered, Jesus answered the man and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought the boy to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And I told you last week that in the Greek right there, convulsed him means that the spirit completely convulsed him. In other words, he used all of his spiritual power to convulse this boy in the worst way possible. And the boy fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Verse 21. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And here's where we really want to spend some time today. And the father said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into fire and into water to destroy him." And here's the heart cry right here. Truth seekers, listen to this. And the father says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Then Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to those that believe." Heavenly Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would take this situation and that you would teach us. Teach us what was going on in the heart of this man that was watching his son be destroyed by this demon. And then, I guess more importantly, teach us what Jesus had to say to this man in this situation. And God, let it be from you. Holy Spirit, would you do the teaching? In Jesus' name, amen. What an awful situation. What a desperate situation. I don't know if some of you listening today may have been in situations where, as parents, you've watched your children be ravaged by a physical disability that wasn't just a difficulty to deal with, but was one that was actually draining the life out of your child. But that's exactly what this man was dealing with. And he had the ability and the wherewithal to know spiritually that this was a demon that was doing it. Today, we would always just put it off on a physical ailment or a disease process. You know, sometimes the disease processes that we deal with as humans in 2014 are not just physical ailments, but they're related to spiritual issues. We don't talk about that enough as Christians. But this father knew that there was a demon that was taking over the life of his son and trying to destroy him. And he had been watching this happen for years on end now, seeing his son be just ravaged and emaciated physically to the point that he was just wasting away before the eyes of this father who could do nothing for his child. And because of that, fear and doubt has crept in. Hope has eroded. There is no faith for this man right now. Can you see that? Having been through this for such a long period of time, there is no faith remaining. And in this heartbroken, heart-sickened state, Jesus speaks to this man. Jesus speaks. And this is what I want you to see. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about this exchange between this father and Jesus. Let me read verse 21. We're going to get into it. Verse 21, so Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father replied, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." Now this is it. This is the line I want you to dwell on for a minute. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Okay, you've got to keep one thing in mind as we go forward. When Jesus asked this question, "How long has this been happening to him?" Don't lose sight of the fact that when he asks this, the boy is in the middle of the most violent, demonic attack that this father has ever seen. He's witnessed several of these evidently, but this has got to be the worst one because in this time the demon convulses him completely. So don't let the gravity of this situation escape you. As Jesus asked this question, this is what the father is seeing. And it is in this situation, in this severe moment, that the father responds. And what does he say? If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, I want to tell you right now, this is a cry of desperation if there ever was one. This is not a cry of faith. Okay, it is anything but faith. And I want to show you why, because we're going to break this down real quick. If you can do anything, the father says, if you can do anything, let me show you what he really said here. And first of all, he uses the word if. And I want to make this point real quick. If equals doubt. In just about every case, the word if equals or points to doubt. Okay, if it is possible, if you can do anything, if there's a chance, when if is in your heart, the highest likelihood is that doubt is in your heart. And this man starts out by saying, if. The next part of his statement is can do, if you can do, or your translation, the King James says, canst do. Okay, I don't speak King James most of the time. So I read this, if you can do, okay, this can do or canst do in the Greek is better translated or understood to have the ability or the power. You got it? If you have the ability or the power, then he says anything, if you can do anything. Now, let's talk English real quick. The word anything is made of two words combined together. The first one is any. The word any refers to all the potential or possible solutions. Okay, any means it draws in and includes all of the potential solutions. But then the word thing is singular. Thing refers to a thing, a single thing. In essence, anything is of all the potential possibilities, this one thing. That's what the word anything means. Out of all the possibilities, one thing. So let me translate what this heartbroken, heartsick, doubtful, fearful father says to Jesus. Says to Jesus, if you have the ability to do one single thing, that's doubt. That's not faith. If you have the ability to do a single thing. I wonder how many times in a prayer meeting or in your own prayer life by yourself, you've either heard something like this or said something like this. Okay, let me give you some examples of things you may have heard or probably said if you're like me. Lord, if you would just, and you fill in the blank. Heavenly Father, if you could only, and you fill in the blank. I want to tell you, if equals doubt. So if your prayer, if your request, if your heart is beginning with the word if, there's doubt that's lingering there. Let me take it a step further. How many of you have said something like this? God, I believe that you can fill in the blank. Okay, now we must be getting somewhere, right? We're not saying if. We're believing. God, I believe that you can, and you fill in the blank. Let me tell you something, truth seeker. Now, you keep this in mind. I believe you can equals fact. If equals doubt, I believe you can equals a fact. But here's the catch. Saying that God can do something isn't faith. It's just a fact. Because God is omnipotent. God can do anything. God can do everything. God can do whatever He wills. So saying that God can do something isn't faith. It's fact. All right? Let me get this across in spiritual examples. Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel. Okay? Here's what Elijah did not say. God, I believe you created fire and you can send it. He didn't say that. That's not a faith statement. That's a factual statement. God created fire. If he wants to send it, he can send it. Elisha, talking to Naaman, covered in leprosy. Here's what Elisha did not say. God, I believe you can heal leprosy. I believe you can heal Naaman's leprosy. Well, in the words of Michelle Tanner from Full House, duh. I don't know if you remember Full House or not. My kids watch it every day. That's why it's so fresh on my mind. Duh. God can heal leprosy. God can heal whatever he chooses to. That's not a faith statement. That's a fact statement. Peter and John, to the lame man laying at the gate, they did not say, Lord, I believe you can heal lame legs. They didn't say that. They said, what I have, I give you. Stand up and walk. Do you see the difference? Let me give you the fact statement. Lord, I believe you can heal lame legs. Duh. Let me give you the faith statement. That which I have, I give you. Stand and walk. Here's the bottom line. Faith does not recognize God's ability. Faith triggers God's involvement. That's huge. Let me restate that. Faith does not recognize God's ability. The fool knows God can. Satan knows God can. Satan doesn't have faith in God. Faith does not recognize God's ability, but faith triggers God's involvement in your situation. All right? This man says, if you can do anything, that's not a statement of faith. That's a heart cry of desperation that Jesus heard. And Jesus responds to him with this in verse 23. So Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, this is a huge statement, but we've got to clean it up a little bit first. Because the word believe right here, if you can believe, that word right there, believe, the best manuscripts and texts and translations that we have do not contain that word. That was added in along the way by some translators. And I'll tell you why it was put in. But let me state this more properly. The word believe does not show up there in the original. What it says in the original is, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, that's a more of a confusing statement, and this is why. This is why they put the word believe in there. Let's talk Greek a little bit, just a minute. The reason they add the word believe is because this is a very difficult phrase to translate from Greek to English. And the reason why is because what Jesus spoke here when he said, if you can, was he actually spoke a Greek idiom. Okay? He gave a little bit of slang. What is an idiom? An idiom is, let me give you some examples. An American idiom, especially in the South, would be, it is raining cats and dogs. Okay? Or, is it raining outside? Yes, it is. It's a gully washer. All right? Or, it's a frog strangler. That is for sure a redneck idiom. Here's what I'm telling you. We understand what it's raining cats and dogs means. But if you go to India and tell somebody it's raining cats and dogs, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Because an American idiom does not translate very easily and very well into the English language or the Indian language. Neither does a Greek idiom, this phrase that Jesus said right here. It's very difficult to translate it into English. And so they did the best they could with it. But they couldn't take the time to explain it like I'm going to explain it to you right now. Because when you see what he actually said, it's wonderful. It's fabulous. So I've read behind some Greek scholars that taught it like this. What Jesus really did here was he gave him a Greek idiom. Now the Father said, if you can do anything. And here's really what Jesus did. He took that statement that the Father made, if you can do anything, and he held that statement back up to the Father, in essence, And he put quotation marks around what he said, and Jesus got a little bit sarcastic with him. And this is basically what he did. The Father said, if you can do anything, and Jesus looked back at him and said, if I can do anything? See, that's really what he said. The word believe is not there. When Jesus replied, he said, if you can. You got it? He returns the Father's phrase back to him with a bit of a question mark and says, what is up with all of this if I can do anything? If. Jesus is making an unmistakable blunt point that the mindset and the words of the Father were off base, were out of line. They're just not going to cut it. If I can do anything, that doesn't work with a faith walker. The next thing that Jesus said was, all things are possible to him who believes. So here, I love this. This must have shocked this man when Jesus returned with these words. If I can, all things are possible to those who believe. See, with this second phrase, all things are possible to him who believes, Jesus is making a comparison of some words right here. The Father said anything. If you can do anything, Jesus takes anything and puts his own twist on it and says all things. He's comparing his phrase to the Father. Jesus says, all things are possible. The Father said anything. Jesus said, no, all things. The Father, you see, I believe this with all my heart, was clinging to this last thread of hope, this one bit of hope that was left, if anything might be possible. And Jesus returning that true faith makes all things possible. And we've got to take this lesson to heart. We've got to start believing the words that Jesus said are true. You see, an average Christian might say, Lord, if you could send them a few dollars to make that payment. But a faith walker says, Lord, thank you for wiping away their debt. Do you see the difference? It's a faith statement. It is knowing that all things are possible. The average Christian might say, God, if it's possible, could you ease this pain so she can rest? But a faith walker says, your cancer is healed in Jesus' name. Why? Because all things are possible to those that believe. The average Christian might pray, Heavenly Father, could you please help him find some spare change to ride the bus? But a faith walker says, praise the Lord for the vehicle that is about to be given to you through the provision of our God. Why can you say something like that, David? Because all things are possible for the faith walker who will believe. The average Christian might say, God, we need a doctor because we can't figure out why my child is so depressed and so angry. But the faith walker says, Satan, I bind you from my child in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose him and let him go. Faith walkers know that all things are possible to him who believes. You see, faith talkers have no spiritual confidence that God will. They only have scriptural references that he once did. Let me say that again. The faith talker, the person that's operating in theoretical faith, the one that is not living it out and walking it out, the one that just has the concepts and the ideas down, the faith talker, they have no spiritual confidence that God will. They only have scriptural references that he once did. The opposite side of the coin is the faith walker. The faith walker has no doubt about his ability. They only have confidence that it is done in Jesus' name. We have a mindset problem. This man in Mark chapter 9 had a mindset problem. Faith, the absence of faith, the presence of doubt and fear messes with our mind. It changes our mind. When our heart is full of doubt, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We don't speak faith when we're full of doubt. We say things like, if there's anything you can do, Help us. And Jesus replies to your heart and mine, if I can, my child, all things are possible to you. If you believe, all things. And I'm trying to tell you today, I hope I'm getting this across. We've got to have faith walkers. We've got to stop talking about it and start living in it. It's got to become practical reality. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 30, if you abide in my word, in other words, if you live my word, if it is your lifestyle, if you're a faith walker, he said, if you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And here it comes. And you will know the truth. And that's talking about not just knowing with your head. That word know is experiential knowledge. It's saying you will have experiential knowledge. You will experience the truth in your everyday life. The rest of that verse said, and the truth will set you free. Christian, truth seeker, do you want freedom in your daily walk? Do you want to live on top of the world, not live with the world on top of you? And more importantly, do you want to start living in such a way that you are affecting change in the lives of your family members, in the lives of your church members, in the lives of your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers? Then you have to realize and understand and live in this fact. All things are possible for those that believe. Next week, we're going to finish up this teaching. We're going to see what happens in the life of this man when he hears the word of Christ into his life say, if I can, all things are possible. Not anything, all things for those that believe. This is a fantastic teaching. You come back next week as we'll wrap this up. Faith walking. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.